Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Thank you for everybody that could have made it. And please bless my words so that they're not my words, but they're yours, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. About a couple months ago, we were sitting in the youth house, and Michelle said, "We have the privilege of having the service on December 28th. And I said, "Oh, that's cool. This will be fun." She said, "Who wants to talk?" And me being the talking person I am, I love to talk. So I raised my hand and I said, "I'll talk." And I'm talking out. She said, "All right, Caleb, you're preaching." And I was thinking it might have been a short little line, something I'd get up, say something, sit down, I'm done. But no, she had different things in mind. I said, no, I don't preach. I can't preach. And she said, "Nope, you're preaching." So here I am. I'm up here. I'm talking. She thinks I can do it. Maybe I can. I'm going to do my best. So we're 3 days after Christmas and 3 days before New Year's. And we tend to, on New Year's, we tend to make resolutions. And we forget about our resolutions. We make them, we forget, we give up. But it's kind of like this. There's an old man, he was a widower, and he moved into a retirement community, and he started making friends, started socializing. But he made friends particularly with one woman, and they fell in love. And he asked her to marry him. He got down on one knee the best he could, and he asked her to marry him. She said yes. So he went home, both of them excited and happy. He went home and he went to bed. Next morning he got up, and he remembered he asked her to marry him, but he couldn't remember what her answer was. So he went and he found the old lady, and he said, "This is so embarrassing." He said, I forgot your answer when I asked you to marry me. She goes, "Well, thank goodness you showed up." She said, "Because I remember saying yes, but I forgot who asked me." This is very similar to our New Year's resolutions. Every year after year, we tell ourselves we're going to lose weight. We're going to exercise more. We're going to participate more in our community and in our church. We're going to become a better father, a better mother, a better parent. We make all these promises to ourselves that we're going to do it. We're going to do it, but it doesn't really last that long. Sometimes we just give up or forget. But let me suggest a New Year's resolution that we can remember, one that's broad and general, one that's simple. Let's make a change for the better. Let me suggest some ways we can make that change. First of all, we can develop a positive outlook towards life. There was a woman, she was very lonely. She had no family that she really kept in contact with. She had no friends. She never got out and did anything. Her life consisted of going to work and going home. She was very lonely. She committed suicide. She left behind a note that said, "I decided that unless life was worth living, I would just quit living." But how do you feel about your life? Is it worthwhile? But let me change the question. What would it take for you to feel that your life is worthwhile? Would winning the lottery do it? How about if your marriage all of a sudden patched up? You had the perfect marriage. Would that do it? What if your kids started to make you proud? Would that do it? What if you got that promotion at work? You started climbing that ladder of success. Would your life be worth it? Would it be worthwhile? But if that's the way you're thinking, then you'll probably really never feel positive about your life, because all these little things that need to come together just won't be there. Turning in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading from the New King James. And while you're turning, remember this is Peter speaking. He's in prison and he's under the worst conditions. But yet, he has something positive to say. Reading from verse 12. He reads, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of that for which, oh, sorry, that Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. But what is Paul trying to grab hold of? He tells us this in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. But what is he reaching for? What is his goal? His goal is eternal life with Jesus. That is what he's reaching for, striving for every day. His goal is heaven. But here's the point. If our goal is heaven and eternal life with Jesus, then all these little setbacks are just stepping stones, getting us closer to the time we will be with Jesus. There will be disappointments in life. You'll lose loved ones. There will be problems. You will have all these things going on that you'll feel alone. God will be there. But every day that passes is a step closer to the day our Heavenly Father will come back to take us home. If that's our goal, then Romans 8:28 is true. Please turn to Romans. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." The world says that the way to make you feel good about yourself is to make more money, to be with the right friends, to join the right social groups, to live in the right community, have the right job, go to the right school. Everything they say is what's right to them. But the Bible teaches us that we are to feel good about ourselves because God loves us. We are treasured. You are so treasured that God sent his only son to die on the cross for me and you. That makes you feel valuable. That makes you feel good about yourself. Frank Peretti, a New York Times best-selling author of Christian fiction, he states, "It's no wonder that our young people today have poor self-images when they go to school and read books that tell them they are products of blind chance, that they are just accidents of nature. Unplanned, unloved, and unwanted. But the Bible tells us over and over again that we are loved, we are cared for, and we are wanted by God himself." Jim Valvano, he was the head coach of the North Carolina State basketball team. He started winning championships, he grew to fame, everybody liked him. He had a winning personality. But during Christmas time, in 1991, he learned that he had an inoperable bone cancer. And during the Christmas time of 1992, he said, "It's difficult to be thankful this Christmas because I don't know if I'll be here the next." And he wasn't. He died the following year. "But," he said, "this Christmas, I'm getting down on my knees and thanking God for every day of the past 46 years of my life." He was positive about his life because he realized that it's a precious gift from God, a gift that we take for granted for every day, and we don't treasure it for the thing that it really is. The next thing we can do to achieve our New Year's resolution is develop a positive attitude towards the church. I don't say this in a self-serving way, because one thing is right about our church, is that it's our goal to lift up Jesus and reach out to others with the message of salvation. But at times we hear people criticize the church. For example, the church costs too much. We are always worried about how much something costs. In Matthew chapter 26, there's an interesting account of something as Jesus ate with his disciples. Reading from verse 6. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" You see, we have a different system of values than the rest of the world. they would consider something a waste that we would consider valuable. They think that us going to church is a waste of time. They think that us wanting to hear about God and Christ and his love for us, they consider that a waste of time. But what is considered a waste today is probably the only thing that will last for all eternity. Now we need to understand that when we risk something for God, we might lose. But we have won the battle already because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. We might lose some battles along the way, but I would rather be trying something great for God and fail than be playing it safe on the side and succeed. John Wesley, an English preacher in the 1700s, he was considered a spiffy dresser. One morning he wore a bow tie that had long ribbons that hung down. And after his sermon, a woman walks up to him, and she said, "Brother Wesley, are you open to some criticism?" And he said, "Well, yes, sister." He said, "What would you like to criticize?" She pulled out a pair of scissors, and she said, "Your ribbons are way too long and inappropriate for a man of God," and she cut them off. And he said, "Sister, may I see your scissors?" And while she was handing him the scissors, he asked, "Are you open to some criticism, sister?" And she's like, "Well, I guess so." So he took the scissors and he said, "All right, stick out your tongue." Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." Paul tells us to speak the truth in love. We need to make sure it's the truth, but we also need to make sure that it's in the spirit of love. So we need to develop a positive attitude towards the church. Finally, we need to develop a positive attitude towards others. Robert Schuller writes, "It would amaze us how many people we could influence for Christ if we would just treat people nicely." I think he's right. It's a hard world, one that does not always practice courtesy. We live in a, you could say, a dog-eat-dog world. But church must be a place where we can go and be accepted and loved and encouraged and built up. A place where we can go where there are people there to help us carry our heaviest burdens. A place where everyone feels welcomed. A place where we can feel at home. You see, if we treat one another with the love of Jesus Christ, then wonderful things will happen for the kingdom of God. So this New Year's, let's sure we display a positive attitude towards others. When Terry Bradshaw was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame, he mentioned other teammates he played with, and he said, "This honor would mean nothing to me at all if I didn't have people like that who loved me." People need people. People need positive people. People need a constant positive influence in life. That's why our New Year's resolution should be to make a change for the better. Let's say to ourselves, "I'm going to be positive as I look at my life. I'm going to be positive as I look at the church. I'm going to be positive as I look at others." Let this resolution filter down into every segment of your life. And let 2014 be one of the best years you've had. And as you live each day of it, you'll get closer and closer to the goal, the heavenward prize, to be with Jesus. Amen. We are a year closer to heaven than we were last year. God has everything on course. Everything is planned. He's ready. We're ready. We need to trust in the Lord and love him, to place our lives in his hands and allow him to use us for his glory. Year after year, day after day, we come up with these issues we have in our lives. Sometimes we don't feel like we can overcome them. We feel alone. We feel like nobody's there for us. We don't know what to do. But God, He has the answer to everything. He's there to comfort us. He's there to love us. He's there to show us that He is there and He will always be there. He will carry us through the hardest things.